Drunken Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan.
Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in to the Falcon Cast Podcast. Hello.
Hey.
There's a face we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I feel like I've been hibernating.
Become a hermit lately. I feel like we should all hibernate.
Yeah.
It's after this winter. Daniel is back with us.
It's great to be back.
After having to miss last week, and boy, I mean, what a harrowing event for you.
It was it's definitely something that you see news-related events around the globe, around the nation, you know, and you're like, oh, man, I feel bad for those people.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself in one of those situations where it's like, wow, this is really bad.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know, you come out changed. I'm a different person than I was 2 weeks ago.
I believe it. And for fans who didn't watch last week, you know, we had a heck of a snowstorm. Well,
it was a situation.
Yeah. It was a snowstorm for here that just crippled the city when it came to traffic and commutes and things like that. And the snow turned to ice, and then that turned to anarchy, really, in a
kind
lot of cases.
Yeah. Yep.
And Daniel was right smack dab in the middle of all.
I was. So this was last Tuesday.
Yes.
In fact, I was supposed to be up here around 1 or 2 in the afternoon for a meeting, and schools let out at around noon. My son got out of school at noon.
Yep.
And I realized, okay, well, I need to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Began the process. I left my house at noon. I live about 25 minutes from where he goes to school.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
I never got there, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the first time I'm even hearing this story.
There was some misunderstandings in terms of who was with me, I guess. But
okay.
I never got to pick up my son, but there was a significant effort to get there. It was just one of those things, like with traffic and everything else, couldn't get him.
Yeah.
His mother managed to get there before me, so that was good. Then I decided, well, I need to go get my girlfriend. I need to try to help her out.
Yeah.
And I've lived in Atlanta for, 12, 13 years now, always kind of around the perimeter.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know that area pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up, it was north on 85, and it took me forever to get to her.
Yeah.
But I finally got her, and we went back home, and it just took forever. And I felt like I shouldn't have done that. I kind of put myself in that situation, but, you know, all of us in some ways did, because everyone just went out all at once, you know?
Because, and I talked to Morgan Andrew, who is our social media coordinator, and, you know, she was also in the middle of it. My digital media intern, Daniela, was also a part of it. It took her 26 hours from the time she left here until the time she got home. So there were people who were involved in this that say you're driving home from
work,
but you're not driving, and it turns from a commute into a survival situation in some cases.
Well,
and
because you're on the road, and you realize, I mean, traffic, it seemed like everyone in Atlanta was on the road.
Yeah.
And that was the huge problem as the ice became, you know, significant.
Yeah.
And it is. It's. Do I want to trade movement progress on the road for stopping to get something to eat?
Right. That's what it came down to.
And then it's like, I'm sorry.
No.
You have to decide, when am I going to change my plan?
Yeah.
And my girlfriend, God bless her, she 8 miles away from home. 10 hours into this trip, she's like, "Let's start walking." And I'm like, "No, can't do that yet. Let's keep going." And I kind of had a point in my mind where if I can get here, I'll walk the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And I got 3.5 miles from home about midnight, and we stopped the car in a neighborhood, and because we were waiting to go up a hill, and it was like waiting.
Yeah.
You're waiting in line, and these other people were failing trying to get up it. So it's like, I'm kind of screwed either way at this point.
Yeah.
So I stopped it. We walked 3.5 miles home. The the smartest thing I did all day that morning, for some strange reason, I wore two pairs of pants.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. How did it come to that?
It's something I'd been doing at home anyway, because it was my apartment's kind of drafty.
Okay.
So, you know, I wear like two pairs of sweatpants instead of just one.
Okay. Fair enough.
And that morning I put on a pair of sweatpants, and then I put on like a regular pair of pants over it. So I was prepared, but I have a new appreciation for walking.
Yeah.
I've walked a lot in the last week.
I've talked to people again who are part of that, and like there's like psychological effects that have come from, like, you're in the car and suddenly you're, you know, you come up with on some normal traffic jam here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And suddenly it becomes a bad situation in your mind.
It's, you know,
can't even imagine.
I intentionally didn't tweet anything.
Yeah.
Because you feel so many different emotions over time. You know, first,
sure.
It's like, I just want to get out of this. I'm like, I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, then it's like, This is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't say anything on Twitter because I was afraid I might say the wrong thing. So.
Well, I would have been live tweeting the heck out of it too. You know me. I would have let every emotion come out over Twitter. But anyway, we're so thankful that everything's okay and that you're back here.
I appreciate you're checking on me a couple times that night.
I felt like a mama bird.
Yeah.
That night.
And that's the other thing is like I had a story to turn in, and I left at noon, so like I didn't do anything that morning. I was just kind of goofing around, and I was like, I'll just work the rest of the afternoon. It's no big deal. No, that didn't happen. And I had a story to turn in, and like around 11 o'clock, I'm like, or 10 o'clock or 9 or whatever it was, just the thought of, well, I still got to go home and work when I emailed you, and you were kind enough to switch things around.
We're always thinking about bringing you guys information.
Oh, absolutely.
If there was ever a doubt on that, we are always, even in some of our most harrowing situations, we're always thinking about bringing you information.
I was thinking about Greg Robinson while I was sitting alone in my car for the
first
half of that trip.
Well, that's as good a segue as ever to get into today's conversation. But again, thankful that you're all safe and sound, and it's just a story now that you can tell people.
Appreciate that.
But all right, so today we're gonna. There's been some scenarios, right? You think about being at number six overall, which is where the Falcons are. There's been some scenarios that have come across in some mock drafts that tend to be either favorable for the Falcons or maybe not so favorable for the Falcons. And so we've got a couple of these scenarios here that we want to talk about. Things that could happen before the number six pick that could be advantageous for the Falcons or may not be. But we're going to talk about them and potentially rank them.
Yeah.
Let's rank them. Okay. So when we talk about these things, we've got to set this up and say, okay, what is the best case scenario for the Falcons?
Yeah.
All right. And so I'll just lead this off with my number one.
Okay.
All right. I think the best case scenario for the Falcons is to have a very tough decision to make at number six.
Yeah.
How that happens is you get a couple of very, very good players that you're trying to decide between at that spot. Now, at number six, it's tough to go wrong because the talent is there. You know, if you miss out on one guy because somebody else took him, it's not like there's going to be a huge drop-off. In theory, you know, obviously 3-4 years from now that'll be the ultimate judge of that.
Right.
But for me, the scenario that's number one most advantageous for the Falcons right now would be four quarterbacks selected between 1 through 5, leaving the two top offensive tackles and defensive end Jadeveon Clowney at number six for the Falcons to select, because you're sitting there, okay, so do I go offensive tackle? Do I go defensive end? And we're talking about this on the way down here is it's a question we brought up in last week's podcast when Matt Moore sat in for you, is would you rather have the next Reggie White or would you rather have the next Jonathan Ogden?
Yeah.
And it's a tough question to answer when you really sit down and think about it. And that's ultimately, in this scenario, what you're trying to determine. And it's like I said, I don't think there's a right answer or there's a more right answer. I think time ultimately is what tells the tale there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you talk about the best possible scenario, I think that one there where you have a selection and you're not kind of shoehorned into one player, I think is probably your best bet.
Yeah, I mean, we all want choices, right?
We all like choices.
Yeah, we love to have choices. So, you know, that scenario, I agree with you. You know, 1 through 5, there's 4 quarterbacks, you know, and that other wild card pick. You know, so, you know, that scenario where you still had those choices of, you know, an offensive tackle or a defensive end, you know, specifically Clowney, that is your best scenario. Because you have that choice. And, you know, I think the best thing that ever happened, or the thing that will continue to be the best thing maybe that can happen to the Falcons draft is, you know, the progression of Carr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a good week at the Senior Bowl. Had a pretty good game as well. So that improved his draft stock. So that kind of puts – he becomes that fourth quarterback at the top. And, you know, the quarterbacks kind of have their own rankings. And then we've got, you know, the kind of the top guys that we think, you know, Matthews, Robinson, and Clowney are kind of like the consensus top three players.
Sure.
You know, and having a choice of those guys, it's pretty nice.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're talking about the quarterbacks. You're talking about Bridgewater, Bortles, Carr, and Manziel.
Yeah.
And the more I keep reading, the more I keep hearing about the draft, the more I keep hearing that there are a couple of guys in there that are going to be in the top five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are a lot of teams that need a quarterback there. Houston needs a quarterback. St. Louis does not need a quarterback.
Yeah.
But
Jacksonville.
But there could be a team that wants to jump up into number two and get a quarterback. Jacksonville needs a quarterback. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Oakland needs a quarterback.
And then you got a team like Minnesota who thinks around 9, like you talked about jumping up.
So you've got – if there's a run on quarterbacks, okay, you've got a very good situation to be in because you're going to have some really good players that in other drafts could fall to you. The thing I worry about, though, okay, especially if you're talking about a guy like Clowney. Everybody's talking about Clowney. Clowney's the number one – draft prospect this year. That's what everybody's saying. Okay, fine. Let's go off of that assumption. He's your number one guy. All right. There's been some talk that Houston could be interested in him, but I think at the end of the day they're going to go quarterback. That's just me.
Right.
So you think, okay, Clowney, boy, we're sitting at 6. There's this run on quarterbacks. This is really good for us. Well, there's a team right behind us at number 7, Tampa Bay, that could use an edge rusher too.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think that they like Clowney. So do they trade up? Do you risk, do you sit at 6 and hope that these players are just going to magically fall from the sky down to you? Or do you be more proactive and go get the guy that you want? And that's the thing that I think is going to be really tough for Thomas Dimitroff if he's put in that situation is – things look like, you know, there's going to be 4 quarterbacks taken in the top 5.
Yeah.
Well, that means there's probably a good chance that if Clowney's my guy, he's going to fall to me. But it doesn't explain, you know, somebody coming over the top of you and snagging him.
Yeah.
So if he's your guy, I almost think you got to go get him.
Yeah.
And it's weird because in some other cases.
And that's a costly.
Yes,
you know, you assume you go get him at number 2. You know, I think St. Louis kind of owns the draft.
Yes. Everything, make no mistake about it, you bring up a great point. Everything happens at number 2.
Yeah.
So much hinges off of number 2.
Yeah. Because again, you know, because they're the team that you kind of assume doesn't want one of those 4.
Yeah.
And especially now, I think the days of seeing like a quarterback like the year Aaron Rodgers came out where a top tier quarterback slides all the way, you know, to the end. I don't think we're going to see that anymore with the way that the NFL teams are paying quarterbacks, especially now draft picks in general. Yeah. There's a little more leeway, a little more latitude. They can take a little more of a risk. And I always think about what my favorite draft guy, Mike Mayock, said. He repeatedly says, if there's a guy that you love, a quarterback that you love, regardless of what their rankings and then all the other people say, if you love that guy, you could get him.
Yeah.
So I really feel like you're going to see those four quarterbacks gone, at least in those top six
picks. One way or another, you would think.
Seems like it.
You know? But the thing is, if you're Atlanta, you do have some things to worry about.
Yeah.
As far as is there another team out there that knows that we're targeting, you know, these couple of guys, whoever they may be, and they want one of them, they're going to go get them. I think there's you worry about sitting at number six.
No, I hear you.
There's a guy that you really, really, really want,
and if you assume that guy is clowny, you have to ask yourself. And this is a question I'm sure that they're asking, just across the way there. I lost my train of thought. If Clowney's your guy and you go up to number two to get him, is he worth losing that second round pick?
Yeah, because that's going to be a part of the deal.
Yeah, because the second round, you kind of assume, especially where the Falcons are, that second round pick is going to be a starter quality player as well.
Because it's really like having an extra first rounder.
Kind of.
Because you're right on the cusp of the end of the first round there.
Mm-hmm.
So that second round pick is more valuable than I think it's ever been. And there's some really good talent that should be there. And you're talking about guys that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the draft. We could sit here and we could talk about it
absolutely
for hours and hours and hours and still never peg down the right scenario for what's going to happen in those 32 picks. But there's always a group of about five or six or seven guys that should have gone in the first round that find themselves at the top of the second, and boy, you really want to be there.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So this is it's a good problem to have in that you know you're going to get some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But man, there are some hard decisions that need to be made here.
Yeah.
Like really hard.
Yeah. And then the other decision, the third scenario here is, you know, that scenario where maybe some of the guys you like, your top guys, are off the board. Do you trade back and try to pick up some picks?
And that's the one I definitely put at number three for me. Because, let me say that it depends on how far you're looking to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the way things are set up, if Matthews, Robinson, Clowney are off the board,
mm-hmm.
when you're picking at six,
there's a lot, if that's the case, there's a lot of trade value. That number six pick is super valuable.
Super valuable. If you're not in love with Khalil Mack, and if you're not in love with Anthony Barr, who I think Anthony Barr is going to fall a little bit when all is said and done.
Yeah.
If you're not in love with either one of those guys, then trading back becomes a very attractive prospect. It's just where.
Yeah.
How far are you willing to go back? Because there's going to be some really good value available right at the end of, or not at the end, but, I'll say at the end of the teens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at 17, 18, 19, 20, and a little bit beyond, I think there's going to be some good value there. Like if you're looking at a tackle, like a Zach Martin could be there, you know.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're looking for. Yeah. You laugh at Zach
Martin? We've not discussed this at length, but I know you and I both have been playing the draft simulator game online.
Yes. And if you – look, folks, it is addictive.
I love the front office stuff in general.
Yeah. I'm a draft nerd, so like it's – but there's these mock simulators, and if you haven't tried them, tweet me or Daniel. We'll send you a link.
All about it. But I laugh because Zach Martin is a guy that I kind of like, and I think he'd be a great fit for the Falcons. He's clearly a first-round guy. He does not, and we were talking about this earlier too. We were laughing. I was like, I feel like I've done this similar like thousands of times. Like I say this with, you know, facetiously, but I feel like I'm as prepared as TD, you know. But but Zach Martin doesn't get past number 19 with Miami.
Never.
In any draft.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but so who do you pick? What Is there something that you've done consistently in your mock drafts that...
Honestly, I've had Clowney fall to me quite a bit. Yeah. And if he doesn't, I take Mac. Because I love Mac. I think he's a top prospect, and we're going to talk a little bit mm-hmm. about him later on. But I like him. I think he's got just as much upside as Jadeveon Clowney, just with less attention on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a guy that I always end up selecting. So
you stay at six?
I stay at six, yeah. I don't think there's been a case where I've traded back.
Really? Oh man, I'm.
See, you're I'm wheeling dealing. With trading. You're wheeling dealing, but it's like I said last week on the podcast. You weren't here, but you know, if you look at history, there's not a lot of trade back in Thomas Dimitroff, and that's
what no, you're right.
Away from that scenario. But I think, like I said, those top three guys that I would think right now are would be your top three guys, which would be Robinson, would be Matthews, would be Clowney. If those three guys aren't there, and again, if you're not in love with Mac or Barr and you want to trade back, I think that's a very attractive possibility.
Yeah. It just those second round picks, it's just like a gold mine in the second round, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, with all, like, I don't, all of those juniors that have come out, I don't know if it's, I think it's the highest number they've had in the draft, but
it's like 90 some, 90.
Yeah. It's a high, high number, along with all the senior talent. So, I mean, people say this is a really, really deep, draft from a quality perspective in a lot of places.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of value in some of the mid rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, trading up again, to go back to that scenario, ends up again being a less attractive possibility.
Exactly.
But I still believe, I mean, and this is the thing, and I think that Thomas subscribes to this philosophy. If there's a guy you want, you go get him.
Yeah.
And we saw it with this guy, Julio.
Yep.
You wanted Julio, so you went and got him.
In hindsight, I mean, that was seems like the right move.
It absolutely was.
Yeah.
And so you sacrifice some of what you sacrifice. You know, you're going to be second guessed and all that other stuff. But that move worked out.
Yeah.
But now you're not talking about going as far. You're talking about probably, again, you know, you got Les Snead at number two, and you got Dave Caldwell at number three. And that's a really good place to be.
Yeah, you're right.
For the Falcons, Thomas Dimitroff, who has working relationships with both of those guys. I mean, looks like a pretty good place. And, and you're going to give up that number two pick. Yeah. It's just what else are you giving up after that? You know, so... But this is one of those things that we're going to be debating for quite a while. So I'm glad we got a start on it. I don't know that we necessarily rank them, but I think you know, these are interesting scenarios because there's so much. We used to talk back when the Falcons would be drafted at number 27 or 28. There's so much that happens before you get to that point that you can't really truly predict what's going to happen. At six here, you think there's fewer scenarios, but there's really not. There are a lot of different ways that things could go, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I was curious, just like a brief moment yesterday, and I was thinking about some things. I was curious. I wonder, like, I guess, I don't know, never mind. I was just wondering about all the different scenarios, like the number of scenarios or draft options that they exist at a certain pick. You know, like how, like what's the number? I mean, in the first place you'd have to start, I guess, is how many seniors are there, and how many players are available, you know, eligible to be drafted. But anyway,
this is sounding more and more like math.
Yeah,
and I'm just
I quickly gave up on the idea, but I was just curious.
Thank
about
goodness, because
the numbers there.
You're not going to get me doing math right now.
Yeah,
no way. Good talk.
Yeah, man.
Good to have you back.
Man, it's great to be back, and I'm so glad that we're talking about the draft.
we'll be doing it from here on out, so we'll give you all you can handle, bro. All
right, cool, man.
All right.
So we got to do some mock drafts here pretty soon.
Might do that.
Cool.
Might do
Can
that.
We get one of those things that, like, we slide our fingers around and move names around and stuff?
Well, no, not that. We're not getting that.
Can we get a big board?
No, we're not getting a big board either.
All right.
You can have this, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Our trusty Falcon.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us again here on the Falcon Cast podcast. We will talk to you again next week.